Good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, let's give a shout out to God. Thank you, Lord. My name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this church. We're so glad that you are here with us. All of our guests, I want to welcome all those who are watching online in the 715 area code. Glad that you're connecting with us, and we would want you to know it is much better in person, and there is room for you. So would love for you to come and join us. Today is the last part of the sermon series called Different, and I'm excited about starting next week. We're going to be doing a sermon series called Do Something. Look at your neighbor and say, do something. Do something. Yeah. And we're going to talk about what that means. You know, that whatever you do in the name of Jesus, you can make a difference in this world. And I just want you to know, a couple weeks down the road, last year, we took what was called a one-day offering towards a ministry called Convoy of Hope. And we just want you to know, we're going to be talking more about that. And then a few weeks from now, are going to be taking a one-day offering. So just want you to be thinking and praying about all that that means. But let's get into the message today. I'm excited about today's message. We're in that sermon series called Different. And that word different means that it's not the same as another. It's the opposite of the norm. And the world is trying to shape for us what is the norm and say we're supposed to do this and act like this. Whatever you do, don't say that and don't do that. And so there's kind of a norm that the world expects from us. But I just want you to know, and you know this, as Jesus followers, raise your hand. You're Jesus followers. Really pay attention to that phrase, Jesus followers today. We're created to live differently. Just look at your neighbor, your other neighbor, and say, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be different. You know, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He put a different spirit inside of you, a different spirit that it was of this world. He placed inside of you the Holy Spirit. And the people that are in your world, your neighbors, the people in your workplace, the people in your business, they're expecting to see that difference. They're expecting it. They know that you're a Jesus follower, but they want to know, what does that look like? They don't want to see another imitation of this world. So our theme verse has come from Matthew 20, 26, and Jesus is talking to His disciples. And they're kind of like following along the norms of this world that, you know, the higher that you go, the more important you are, and we want to have an important status. And Jesus is like, no, it's not about that. It's not about that. He says, but among you, it will be different. It needs to be different. Now, here's the reality. The reality is everyone in this room, we are following someone or we're following something, right? So there's people who are here today, and some of you actually have started coming to church because of what happened in Utah some here 4 weeks ago with the assassination of a gentleman, a political influencer, I believe an evangelist of Jesus Christ, because of his assassination. It kind of woke you up, and you just have been a follower of him. And that's all right. And there are some people who are here today, and you're so excited. You're still beaming because I believe it was this week that Taylor Swift came out with her new album. And some of you are Swifty followers that are here. Any Swifty followers, it's okay. You can raise your hand. A couple of you Swifty followers. All right. Some of you are political followers. Some of you, you lean to the left or you lean to the right, but wherever you lean hard. You lean hard. And then there's some Brewer followers out here. Give the Brewers a hand. They have struggled to make it to the next level. Let's see what they do in the NLC Championship Series. And then some of you, your Packer followers. Can we get any Packer followers here? Can we do on the count of three? Can we do this on the count of three? We got a Lions fan over here, so everybody direct your hand towards the followers. On the count of three, can we do a Go Pack Go? One, two, three. Go Pack Go. Oh, yes, we know there's followers. That felt so good. Oh, and I'm sorry, just between you and I. And the Wolverines did so good last night. All right. Whew, felt good. I feel it today. She has been busting my chops here for the past few weeks, so that felt good. Yeah, okay, there's different, a serious channel. Okay, there's different levels of followers. There are casual followers. There are those who are very interested, very invested. But then there's this group of followers called all-in followers. All-in. We know who these people are. I mean, they're all-in. I mean, they live, breathe, everything, whatever that is. I want to talk to you today about spiritually minded people, and I want to use the illustration of Lambeau Field, if I can. How many of you ever been to Lambeau Field before? Yeah, man, it's just, you know, I grew up in Ohio. I grew up a Browns fan. That's a different story. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. But boy, when we moved here, it was easy to jump on that bandwagon. I had always had a lot of respect for the Green Bay Packers. As a matter of fact, years ago, when I was like 12 years old, my very first game I ever went to was a Browns-Packers game, all right? And the Packers won, as of course they did. But there's something about Lambeau Field. And how many of you have ever been to Lambeau Field on game day? A really cool experience, and there are thousands of people who are going to the game. Yeah, it's so beautiful. There are just thousands of people all around this stadium, and there's people on the outside, people who are sitting in the stands, and then the most importantly, people, the ones who are on the field. But there's thousands of people who go to the game, and then if you've ever lived in Green Bay, we lived in the Green Bay area, De Pere area, for over 12 years. And if you ever forgot that it was Packer Sunday and you were driving downtown to get a meal to go to a restaurant, man, it's like, it's crazy. So there's literally some people who they drive by the stadium because they live in that neighborhood and they just really don't care. And I think that they're on a spiritual level, we can kind of compare it to the events that happened at Lambeau Field on game day. There's people who, on the outside of this stadium, they live in that neighborhood, and this is just a big. The care level is just not there. Am I okay, guys? Yep. Oh, good. They know something's happening, but they don't care. There's lots of people who are just completely disengaged. And they're just living their lives unconcerned. And spiritually speaking here, the Bible refers to this type of person on a spiritual level as somebody who is foolish. Right, I talked about this last week, I believe. And a fool is someone who knows better, but they completely ignore the truth. They know. It's not like I don't know, but I just concerned about it. In Psalm 14:1 says, only fools say in their hearts there is no God, or else they live their lives like there is no God. They know, but they just don't have the time, and they just don't care. And I just want you to know it's a really foolish thing to live your life without God in it. I just want you to know that. So the second person that you'll find at Lambeau Field on game day is a fan. Now, has anybody ever seen this person before? How many of you ever seen this guy? We've seen him on TV. So he goes to as many games as possible. A fan of the team. They know all the team players, the stats. They can recite them. They get all dressed up in the team garb here. Yeah, you got the love. I even have my Go Pack Go wristband on this morning. Something else, above and beyond there. They arrive early at the game for the tailgating party. Can't miss that. And again, in the stands, they know all the cheers. Can we do it one more time? One, two, three. Go, Pack, go. Okay, see? Oh, man, there's nothing worse than just dogpiling it. This describes the spiritually minded person who is a fan. They go to church as much as possible. They know all the latest worship songs. They, they wear the church merchandise, and they got a big cross necklace. This is the biggest one I could find. I don't have many, but they wear the cross around the neck. They maybe even had the bumper sticker on the back of their car. And every time the doors of the church are open, they love, listen to me, they love to come to church and receive. Oh, I just love to come and take it all in, the worship. Oh, and the pastor, oh, he's just phenomenal. I know you had that conversation a lot. However, a lot of their energy sometimes, it's show. They wouldn't dare step out on the field. They don't have the time. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel gifted. That's not my job. I just like to come and receive. I love to take it all in. They're just here to watch. Jesus says about these people, he's talking about a bunch of spiritual fans. He's talking about these religious leaders who just kind of do things for the show. They're there. They know all the scriptures. They're there all the time. They're just... And he says, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts or their actions are far from me. Man, that is just... Everybody just take a deep breath here. Because that's a heavy scripture. Right? They know all the lingo. They wear all the jerseys. They even have the wristband wearing. They got the cross around their necklace. I just love to come and take it all in. But that's as far as it goes. The third person that you'll find at Lambeau Field on game day is what you call a follower. Follower. You see, check. There we go. Let's try that one more time. If not, get me a microphone. True followers are the ones who get out on the field in the battle. Take a look, see here. Do we have a picture? There we go. They're the ones who are on the field. They're the ones who are making it happen. They know that they have giftings and abilities, and they just don't want to sit on the sidelines. They want to get out on the field. They've been given a playbook. Memorize this playbook, and I want you to go out and do this. And if you do this and you do it right, you will win the battle. They believe in their mission. They've been training for a long time. They're out there and they're getting dirty. There's nothing more rewarding than walking off the field victorious. They're all in. Right? That's what players do. They're all in. Listen, if you're going to be on this team and you're going to get out on the field and you're not going to go all in, then just leave. Don't be here. And I think this describes the third spiritually minded person. They know that there's a battle that must be fought. They know that they have been gifted to give. They've been blessed to be a blessing. They know that they have been created by God to make a difference in this world. They've been given a playbook to memorize and say, listen, follow this playbook. If you want victory in your life, follow the playbook. And they get their hands dirty by serving others. There's nothing more rewarding than living out their message. They are all in. Everybody say all in. All in. We're going deep this morning, right? We're going to go deep. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus describes to his disciples, he says, listen, they're kind of wondering, what does it mean to go all in, Jesus? What does it mean to be an all-in follower of Jesus? Listen to the descriptions of a follower here this morning. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if... That means it's a decision. It's a choice. Nobody forces you in. And follow me. Are you a full man or are you a follower?
Green light. Okay, here we go. My question to you this morning, are you a fool? Are you a fan? Are you a follower? You see, if you are foolishly following the world and not Jesus, if you're here this morning and say, yeah, I would probably be in the foolish category, can I just encourage you, stop ignoring this issue. Like, this is like the most important issue ever that you'll deal with. This issue deals with your eternity. Can I just encourage you, if you're here this morning, to reconsider the importance of your faith journey, to sincerely give Jesus a chance. Can I just encourage, if you're a fool today, that you would just give Jesus a chance by just praying this prayer, to say, Jesus, would you reveal yourself to me this week? I just want to speak to the foolish person who's just kind of ignoring God. And if you're a fan, understand that there's a lot of you out there. You admire Jesus, you attend church, you appreciate his teachings, you even wear his merch. Maybe some of you are wearing a cross today, but Jesus never called us to be fans. He called us to be followers. I was really inspired by this idea by a book by the author's name is Kyle Eidelman, and he wrote a book called Not a Fan. And he says in his book, the biggest threat to the church today, not just talking about Thrive Church, but to the church as a whole, our influence on the world, the biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians but aren't actually interested in following Jesus. I use this phrase, Jesus follower, a lot. I think Jesus follower can be, it's different than even a Christian. A Christian is a title that you can put on, but if a Jesus follower is something that you do, it's a lifestyle. Today we're going to examine, based on the words of Jesus, what it looks like to follow Jesus. I've entitled today's message, Follow. Everybody say follow. Okay, here we go. Kyle Eidelman, again in his book, says, Jesus didn't come to make admirers. He came to make disciples. That's another word for a follower. That's the description that is used in the Bible, is disciple, a disciple. John Mark Comer, in his book, just fantastic book on discipleship called Practicing the Way. John Mark Comer, he says this about a disciple. A disciple is an apprentice to Jesus, one who is called to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. This concept moves beyond mere belief to a holistic lifestyle of following Jesus in all areas of life, learning from his example and seeking to live out his teaching daily to become more Christ-like. You see, we're talking about different here. We live in a world that says, no, don't do that, man. If you want to live like everybody else, you just need to live and find yourself. You know what you do? You were looking for a direction. Just follow your heart. Do what makes you happy. But Jesus, in this passage, he gives us a radical definition, an invitation. He doesn't just promise, he doesn't promise comfort, he doesn't promise applause, he doesn't promise us worldly success. He says, if anyone would come after me. In other words, if you truly want to be a disciple, here's what it takes. Three actions of a Jesus follower disciple today. Jesus says the first thing, or the first principle of a Jesus follower is to give up. Everybody say give up. Give up. Another word for that is surrender. And worship team, you did such an awesome job on that last song. Just talking about surrender. You just heard that over and over and over again. Surrender, right? When you surrender, it means I give up. I give up my control. I give up me trying to take over. God, I just trust you. Jesus said in verse 24, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up. Give up. You must surrender your own way. In the NIV, they use the phrase, let him deny himself. You see, if you're here today and you're signing up, I want to be a follower of Jesus, the first thing that we must learn to do is to deny ourselves. And I'm not talking about, when Lent comes up, all right, I'm not going to eat chocolate during Lent, okay? During 21 days of prayer and fasting, I'm not going to drink coffee. You know that's hard, Lord. I'm giving up a lot for you. That's not what I'm talking about. It is about surrender. Everybody say surrender. I'm going to surrender my control. I'm going to surrender my desires, my will, my agenda. Denying yourself means saying no to your will and saying yes to God's. This means letting go of control, comfort, and self-centered desires. It's laying down my pride. It's laying down my hopes and my dreams, and I'm going to give this to God. You see, the world, again, we're talking about being different. The world says the opposite. The world says, no, don't deny yourself. Indulge yourself. Get more is never enough. Get as much as you can. Live your own truth. Do whatever makes you happy. But Jesus says here, we go just one verse later. Jesus says, if, again, it's a choice. That word if means there's a choice there. You get to choose. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up, surrender your life for my sake, you will save it. In other words, Jesus is saying, real life, listen to me, listen, this is so important. Real life begins when you give up trying to be your own God. Isn't that really the battle? Who's going to be the God in my life? Is it going to be me or God, my creator? In Matthew 19, 16 through 22, there is a powerful, powerful story that we have to look at. Jesus is having an encounter with this young man who has a lot. Everybody say a lot. I mean, he's got a lot. It's titled in my Bible, The Rich Young Ruler. So we know three things about this young man. First of all, he's young. Okay? He's young. Number two, he's got a lot of money. So if he's got a lot of money, he's probably got a lot of stuff. And number three, he's got a lot of power. But he's a ruler. He's got a lot of power. He had everything. Everything probably that each and every one of us, are, in a way, we kind of desire. I kind of wouldn't mind being a little younger again. Wouldn't mind having just a little bit bigger of a bank account. I don't know if I want the other part. I don't know. But he was still missing one thing. There was still, everything he had, there was still an unsteadiness within his heart about eternity. And he was maybe unsure, and he was a religious young man, and he told Jesus, in this discussion, I have followed all the commandments to the T. I mean, I have been a follower of all these things. Is there anything else that I need to do to inherit eternal life? And check out the interaction Jesus said. The young man said, what else must I do? And Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Now check out this last part. Then come and follow me. Come follow me. Jesus was calling him to a life of surrender. Jesus is calling you to a life of surrender. Your possessions, your stuff, your family, your desires, your motivations, your positions of authority, your will for Jesus' will. Surrender all that you have an exchange, I want you to instead, I want you to follow me. And what the challenge is, instead of following yourself, that's not going to get you there. You're going to need to surrender self and follow me. Now check out this young man's response, verse 22. This young man is talking to Jesus because he actually believes he is who he says he is. He's heard about the miracles. He's heard about the demons. He really, really, really believes that Jesus is the Messiah and Jesus is the only way to heaven. I believe that this young, rich, young ruler really believed that. That's why he's having this conversation. He's talking to Jesus. I just want you to imagine it. You've had this conversation to Jesus, and he gave you the answer. Listen to his response. But, everybody say, but. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Do you see what he did? The invitation is, come, follow me. But he didn't like the answer of what that meant. He didn't like the answer of surrender. And so instead of following me, he went away. And how many times do we do that with Jesus? We hear a message. We hear a calling. We hear that challenge like, oh, that's a little too much, Jesus. Sorry, you went across the line. This is kind of my threshold here. I'm just going to pretend like I didn't hear that. And I'm going to walk away. Isn't that the challenge? Really? Isn't it the challenge within all of us? He walked away from the deal of a lifetime. Eternity with God in exchange for all these things that are on earth and they aren't even yours in the first place. He couldn't bring himself to the place of surrendering all in exchange for following Jesus. He was, listen to me, we talked about this last week. He was exchanging the truth of this world, or the truth of God, for the lie of this world. How about you? What is your all? What is your all that you are, that would be hard to surrender that? Have you come to the place in your life where you wrestled with surrendering your all for all that Jesus has for you? Jesus says here in verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now listen, Jesus is not throwing stones at this young man. He's just merely pointing out, he simply points out the fact that it's really hard. It's really hard for people who think that they have a whole lot. It's really hard for them to surrender their all in exchange for following Jesus. I'm looking at a lot of people. I'm looking at a congregation, and I'm looking in the mirror. I'm looking at a lot of people who have a lot, right? If you live in the United States of America, compared to the rest of the world, you have a lot. And sometimes it is really hard. I think many of us can resonate with this young ruler. But he calls for us to surrender. The second thing, we're going to give up. Everybody say give up. A Jesus follower is somebody who takes up. Number two, takes up. Take up. In other words, the word is sacrifice. Again, looking at this passage one more time, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your way, your own way, and you must take up your cross and sacrifice. The cross, we have a cross on our wall here. We have a cross in the back that we look at. I have this really, really unique-looking cross in my office. I just love it. I saw it at a store one time. I'm like, just all of these many, many crosses, and they all put together, and they make this really big cross. I have a cross necklace on. Some of you come in, and you got beautiful necklaces and decorations, and sometimes if we're not careful, we can just turn the cross into a decoration, but the cross is more than that. The cross is a symbol of pain. It's a symbol of suffering. It is a death. A death fixture. It's like putting an electric chair on your necklace. And I know that's not why you wear it. You wear it to remind you to identify yourself as a Jesus follower. But to take up your cross means not to wear a necklace, but to embrace what Jesus went through himself, the sacrifice and the rejection for the sake of Jesus. It's about willingly dying to yourself daily, just as Jesus gave up his life for himself. Again, the world, we're talking about being different. The world says something different, doesn't it? The world tells us that we just do everything that you can to avoid pain. Avoid discomfort. Choose the easy road. It preaches self-preservation and self-sacrifice. But Jesus calls us to a higher path. Have you ever thought about how the things in our life of greatest value often demand the greatest sacrifice? Some of you went to college. And you struggled in your college years, and you saved, and you worked to go to school. And, oh man, those were difficult years. Remember those years? But now you have this job, this occupation, and you're like, you're so grateful that you went through that season of sacrifice. Some of you are here today, and you remember those, like, you found the one. Guys, you found the one that you want to marry. And like, oh my, and like, and you started scrounging and saving all that money. You put all that money so that you can buy that perfect diamond ring for her because something of great value is so worth the sacrifice. I remember for Michelle and myself raising our kids when we started having children. Michelle had a teaching degree, and the teaching degree, on a youth pastor salary, we could have lived a lot differently, but we made the decision we're going to sacrifice those years of pay and compensation because we valued our children. This was our choice, okay? And we are going to raise our children. So there was those years that were very difficult. They were sacrificial years because that thing of great value requires great sacrifice. And so it is with the Jesus follower. The greatest reward comes from the greatest sacrifice. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, I plead with you to give your bodies. When he says, not just your human body, but he's referring to your life. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, everything. Give your all, go all in. That's exactly what Paul is saying here to God because of all he has done for you. That's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. He willingly, sacrificially went to the cross to pay the debt of your sins. And he says, listen, you need to have that same mindset. However, everybody say however. You're going to be really glad that there's a however here. However. Let your life be a living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. In those days, the religions of the world would bring a dead sacrifice to the altar, and it would be sacrificed. A dead animal, and it would be sacrificed in the attempt to appease the gods. And that was just the way it was. But Paul is telling us, God doesn't want you dead. He doesn't want you like, okay, God, here we go. Just burn me alive, whatever you want to do. That's not what he's talking about. He says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is when you commit. He said, listen, I surrender my will. I sacrifice my will and my desires, and I commit to live for his mission and not my own. Years ago, I learned about in college this missionary named Jim and his wife Elizabeth Elliott. How many of you ever heard of those missionaries? Well-known story, but they were missionaries to the Waiarni people of Ecuador. I hope I said that right. They had this couple, just a young married couple, had completely sacrificed their all for the mission of reaching an unreached people group for Jesus. They knew that these people that they were going to be visiting for the first time would be the first time that they would see white people. They knew that they were headhunters, okay? In other words, they were just a brutal group of people, and they knew nothing about Jesus. They were remote and they were just completely out there. And they had never heard the gospel, but Jim and Elizabeth and five other friends said, this is worth the price. This is worth the sacrifice. And so they sacrificed time and energy and finances just because they were on a mission for God. On June 6, 1956, after an initial friendly contact with these people, all five men, including Jim Elliot, were killed for this mission. It was discovered in his journal. And if you read, I can't remember, Elizabeth Elliot. Look up Elizabeth Elliot. She writes about this story. But he writes in his journal some few weeks before his death. He writes this in his journal, and it says this: he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I know that's a lot, but that's a lot. Write that down. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. In other words, what we cannot keep, our earthly possessions, our finances, all the things that we obtain in this world, we can't keep them. And that which we cannot lose refers to the eternal things like salvation and our inheritance in heaven. And this I want you to know, this is what it means to take up your cross. And Paul tells us this is not easy to do on our own. And that's why he tells us in verse 2, he gives us a description on how to do it. It says, if you're going to take up your cross, then listen, don't do it the world's way. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. That's not what God is looking for. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, you're not going to find this in the world by self-learning and all these things. The world is selfish, but Jesus calls us to live the life that is selfless. And the challenge that Paul gives us here is to go all in with Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside. Allow the Holy Spirit to move you and stir you and lead you, and then follow him. The third step, and being a Jesus follower is pretty obvious. And that means I'm going to follow up. I'm going to follow up. I'm going to give up. I'm going to take up. I'm going to follow up. In other words, I'm going to go all in. Let's say this one more time. This is verse 24. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must. Your own way, you must. Take up your cross, and you must. Jesus doesn't say deny yourself or carry the cross. He also says follow me. I want you to know this is not a one-time decision. This is a daily walk. In fact, in some scriptures, I believe it's in Luke, it says to daily do this daily. John 10:27. Jesus quickly here, he describes three qualities of a disciple. Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, my sheep, talking about us. Can we just 1, 2, 3 do a bah? 1, 2, 3. Bah. All right. There. I just want to see if there's sheep in the house. There are sheep in the house here. If my sheep will listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. In other words, a Jesus follower. We know how to follow him because we hear his voice. Sheep hear their shepherd's voice. They know who they are following. And when they do follow, they get on it. They go all in. We are called, if you're a Jesus follower here today, you're called to do the exact same thing that we need to, first of all, that a sheep will listen. We need to learn to listen to God's voice every day. And I promise you, if you would open up your Bible each and every day, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you through His Word. I was listening to this commentary, a podcast today, and this one pastor was talking about the spiritual disciplines of a Jesus follower. And he was just going on and on and on. He says, if Jesus followers would just pick up their Bible and read it on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, all the other disciplines would fall into place. In this book, the Holy Spirit speaks. He gives us direction. But we need to learn to sit down and make the time to listen to Him daily. And second of all, they know who they're following. Do you know Jesus? I want you to know, I don't know if you know this, but I know Jordan Love. Did you know that? I know Jordan Love. Okay. I know who he is. I could point him out in a crowd. I see him in the game. I know his stats. I know his information. I know where he went to college. But the reality is, I don't know him, right? That's the reality. I'll be honest. I really don't know. And I don't think you do either. You might know more information about Jordan Love, but what I'm trying to say is a lot of times we know a lot about Jesus. We have a lot of information about Jesus. We know where he was born, where he cruised. We know the whole story. We know the Gospels. We know the scripture verse, but we've not taken the time to really know Jesus. Here's what it takes to know somebody. It takes time, communication, and presence to know someone. And third of all, we need to go all in and following him. Sheep, when they hear the shepherd's voice, they move it. They move it. They know that there's dangers out there. They know to follow and obey him. Jesus followers walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You go where he goes. You love how he loves, and you serve how he served. As I close out this message today, heard a story years ago, and it's kind of inspiring. Back in the Bible days, there would be rabbis. Rabbis would go through communities, and they would find the young men in their communities who are like the top of their class in Hebrew training and stuff, these young men. And it was such an honor if a young man was chosen to follow a rabbi. And he would be mentored, and it would be a course of years that he would be mentored one-on-one by this rabbi. And he would walk with him, and the rabbi would mentor him and teach him scriptures and teach him the ways of life and talk to him about God. It would just be an incredible mentoring experience. And then times that these rabbis would come together, and the rabbis would kind of sit in this area and have food together and sit around a fire. And then all the disciples would kind of stand over here like, oh, man, my rabbi is so awesome, and he's so cool, and he taught me this, and he taught me, and it just, oh, they just... They just thought these rabbis were the greatest people in the entire world. And then the rabbi would say, okay, disciple, it's time for us to go. He would call them. And then he would say, oh, guys, I got to go. Like, oh, man, I just love how I'm growing and I'm learning to be with him. And yes, rabbi. And they would, all his disciple friends, they would look at him, and how they would say goodbye as they would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Yes, yes, I will. In other words, he was saying, may you follow your rabbi so closely that as you're walking down this path, the dust is literally falling on you. But not just the dust, but his anointing. May his spirit, may his knowledge, may you become so close to him that you become just like him. And I believe wholeheartedly this is the challenge that Jesus has for us. May we follow Jesus so closely that he falls off on us, and then Jesus falls off onto the world. but he calls us to be not a fool, not just a fan who wears the merch, but he challenges us to be a follower. But if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to give up yourself. You're going to have to take up his cross daily, and you're going to have to follow him. I have tried to make this a daily decision of mine, and I want you to know I have no regrets. In fact, the peace that I'm looking for was found in that place. The hope I'm looking for, the fulfillment is found in that place of being a follower. Can I ask you this morning as I close, are you a follower of Jesus? Have you made that decision? Are you tired of playing the fool? Are you tired of I'm just being a fan? I know it, man. I'm just going halfway in. Are you ready to make that commitment to go all in with Jesus? If you're here today, I said, Pastor, don't look around at anybody. I want to go all in. I want to be not Christian by name, but I want to be like Jesus as a follower of him. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Don't do it for anybody else. Say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to stand for him. I'm going to stand for him all around this room. In Jesus' name, I'm going to take a stand for Jesus. I'm going to take a stand right now. I want you to right now, if you're standing, I just want you to make that prayer commitment. Just pray to him, dear God, I just come to you today and I make this commitment. And Lord, I give up myself, my desires, my pursuits. And Lord, I give them up. I surrender. And Lord, today, I just make the decision to take up the cross that you have me to carry, Lord. I want to follow you. I make that decision today. I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. In your name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Can we just give Jesus a hand today? Jesus a hand today.